podcast does not mean postscript. Mm-mm, no, not in my world. In my world, it means Pope scenario. A Pope scenario. I want to explore the Pope scenario that I brought up yesterday. Hi, everyone. Martin Zender. I indeed threw something at you yesterday about the possibility of the Pope. And as likable a Pope and as political a Pope, well, they're all political. They're all political. As Pope Francis, just imagine the tumult that will be created by an assassination. And this will be a very likable guy. Like Francis, he's likable. He kind of looks like your grandpa. When he takes off those ridiculous garments, he looks like a normal guy. And so I can easily see Christianity falling over themselves, especially as he compromises some of the tenets of the Catholic Church. And hardcore Catholics are getting upset at him because he's more liberal, you see. He's dropping all the crap and he's being more open. He's saying he's lowering the bar a little bit. We're not so hardcore Catholic. We're embracing all faiths and it's becoming more ecumenical. Of course, the Catholic Church is, and it's a political move. It's a power move. It's not because the Catholic Church is suddenly getting a soft heart toward all humanity. Well, maybe it is in the liberal sense. That is in the sense that, there's a sense that a central power wants to take care of everyone. But of course, when this happens, it's called totalitarianism. It never works out very well for the people down the food chain. If you're the head honcho, if you're the dictator of a dictatorship, then you get all the fun and you get all the freebies and you get all the food and you get all the nice living accommodations. Everyone else down the food chain is treated like a crap. And that's what's going to happen here when you wield power, because power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. It does with humans anyway. But picture this Pope now. He's going to make everything nice, let's say. And picture the shock of this man in a moment of peace. Let's say the Pope is in his classic blessing position. He's got his hands up and he's putting them over children. The children, you see. If you have children as props, like politicians do, they kiss babies. The children are props for a photo op. Likewise, the Pope. The Pope blesses the children and the children want to kiss the Pope. I just kissed the Pope. And, of course, it's grand and glorious. And if the Pope does have those robes on, when he spreads his arms in benediction, the robes flow underneath. Let me try to imitate it with my shirt. You have this Christ-like material under here. This is the Christ-like material of my garment. Not quite a tunic. It's a shirt. But the Pope has more like a tunic when he's dressed in his holy getup. And so when you spread your arms, you have this drapery under your left armpit, also with probably a pit stain, and you also have drapery on the right armpit. So just imagine the Pope blessing the children with his papal drapery and his armpit stains, and at that moment he struck down. At that moment he struck down. He was doing a good thing. He was granting some great thing. He was signing some great document. He was blessing the children. He had the everything going on. And at that moment, he struck down, just like JFK. He's riding in a car, waving to people. He's not in some kind of front lines of a war killing people. It's a time of peace. And so we have a great sympathy for that figure. And likewise, it will be for the Pope. We would have a great sympathy for the Pope if he was struck down in an attitude of blessing other people. Now, we talked about ISIS. I've talked about ISIS, and I've talked about the Muslim problem. I've talked about Islam and how it is predicted in Scripture, Daniel chapter 7, that this religion will try to take over the world. And that's what's happening. But I also told you that the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, the nice guy, whether it's the Pope or Donald Trump or whoever, is going to eliminate the problem. Okay, so let's say that you eliminate the problem. I also know from Scripture that these religions are not going to be done away with. They're not going to be stamped out completely. They're just going to be subjugated. They're going to be emasculated. They're going to be made docile, but they're still going to be in existence. That's why we know that the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7 are not a repeat of Nebuchadnezzar's image in Daniel chapter 2, because in the image, the head, the chest, they're successive. One is overthrown, the other one comes in and does away with the previous one. Not so with the beasts, they're contemporaneous. I will continue to say this to make those differences known. So that since the Islamic religion is still going to be intact, I propose to you that there will be rogue elements alive in that religion. Even if it's one rogue guy, I mean, this is unlikely, but let's say the whole religion is squashed to the point that everyone is subservient to the vast religious confederation, and they do homage to the religious political leader of the day, the Antichrist, but there's going to be a rogue element, even if it's one guy. So one guy assassinates the Pope. Do you remember when that assassination attempt on Pope Paul, whoever it was, when I mentioned that to you yesterday? You remember how evil that guy seemed? I mean, if you're going to assassinate the Pope, man, you're on the fast track to hell. That's what you thought. Does this guy, how fast is this guy who assassinated the Pope, how fast does he want to go to hell? I think I might have thought this when I believed in hell, but I'm sure the whole world did. What's the worst sin you can commit? Kill the Pope. I mean, come on. So the person who does this will be terrible. And of course, all Christians would. But this guy, let's say, here's another scenario. Let's say that it's not a Muslim guy. Let's say it's somebody who knows the truth. Let's say it's somebody like the German inside circle people who tried to kill Hitler. Let's say it's somebody who knows this is an evil regime. Let's say it's somebody who, by some miracle, sees through the deception of the end time and says, this guy's the Antichrist. Now remember, all Christianity is not going to know. They're not going to know anything because they're dumb. But let's say that whoever assassinates the man of lawlessness does know. It's an evil empire. It's wrong. It's bad. The whole world has gone for it, but I am going to save the world, just like those insiders in Nazi Germany. They were going to save the world from Hitler. So this guy says, I'm going to save the world from the Antichrist. And he slays the Antichrist with the sword. Don't think, no, these people are, yeah, I suppose it would be more likely for a Muslim because they don't care. They're glad to give their own lives. Why not just take a pot shot? Why not an assassination with a high-powered rifle with a scope the size of a Frisbee on that thing? Get 1,000 feet away and knock them off that way with a silencer. I'm not recommending this to anyone, but because it's the glory. There's something associated with glory. Go on YouTube. My God, I saw this assassination of some Japanese guy, I think it was, on live television. This guy comes in with a samurai sword or something, and he plunges it into the heart of this political figure. And it's on YouTube. It's terrible to see. The guy wasn't so good after that. You know, the guy that got his thorax shish kebabbed. It wasn't so good after that. Took the wind out of his sails, you might say. But anyway, this person would be universally hated, is what I'm getting at. Like the assassin of John Lennon. Universally hated. There's another great example. John Lennon, a man of peace, a man who sings All You Need Is Love, and imagine all the people living life in peace. He's killed, and everybody hates his killer. It was senseless, ridiculous, and John Lennon has been immortalized, canonized. I mean, he was immortalized before because he's one of the Beatles, for the love of God, but even more so. And JFK takes on mythological proportions on the heels of assassination. John Lennon, JFK, MLK, same thing. El Popo, it would be more and the same. So this would elevate the man of lawlessness to greater status than he had before. And that is another insidious, even more evil imitation. Oh, the fact that Jesus Christ is given more honor and glory on the heels of the crucifixion, thus also the Antichrist in this sick cosmos of ours, this sick world, this sick system and arrangement, the man of lawlessness will be even higher esteemed because he was such a nice guy, such an innocent guy, killed by such a bad person. That is just going to take it through the roof. But I think after the examples I have given you, John Lennon and the Pope and Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Anwar Sadat, all these people, you can see how easily the assassin would be vilified and the victim would be raised to mythological status. And that's what's going to happen. I remind you that the conqueror of the end time is going to be the head of one of the great religious divisions. Remember, I told you he's the head of one of the heads. The heads are the seven parts of the Christian religion. And this is all part of the monster, the monstrous feminine article there, feminine noun of Daniel chapter 7. So this would make him the Pope as well as the political head. Not literally the Pope, necessarily could be, but the religious as well as the political leader. Again, religion and politics. And he is going to be the head of all Christendom and the whole world, even though he's only the head of one arm of that. You see, he's going to be the head of one arm of Christianity. That will help explain some mystifying language here later in chapter 13. We're in chapter 13, aren't we? What great progress. We're in chapter 13. So the man of lawlessness is going to be like an emperor of ancient Rome. This is what they call the emperor. I'm not making this up. Pontifex Maximus. And so the pontiff part, he was the spiritual leader. He was a religious leader. The emperor of Rome demanded worship if he was a real prick. And he was also the political leader. And I guess an analogy today would sort of kind of be the King of England, who is technically the spiritual lord of the national church. I know it sounds sick. You will address me as the spiritual lord of the national church, or you will not address me at all. That's what I would say if I was the spiritual lord of a national church, but I'm not. I'm Martin Zender, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. I will settle for that. That's good enough. So if we look at do I have time for this? No. I want to talk about the wounded head of the wild beast and why it speaks of that as a system as well as a person. I'm going to demystify all this stuff for you because that is what I do